Stay tuned and focused and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Amen. And I want you to look with me, if you will, if you grab your Bibles and go to John, the Gospel according to St. John, chapter number 6. Interesting word on tonight. I had intended to preach from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. And this evening, sometime, this particular topic, text, and verses would not let me ignore them. Amen. And so, John chapter 6, and for time's sake, we won't read the, because there's a whole lot in that, but we won't read the entirety of what I'm going to talk about, but we're going to just get you to the stuff that, you know, how the main ingredients, the stuff they put on the bottle, we're going to get you that. Amen. Although there are some other things that make up that, we're going to get you that. If you look at John, the Gospel according to St. John chapter 6, and look with me at verse number 60, and we will parade and peruse the periphery of the chapter, but we're going to, and we'll be in the context. Amen. Amen. We'll be in the context with the text. We'll read all the way to verse 71. Amen. How many know that a text without a context is a con? Amen. So whenever people tell you you're old-fashioned because you want to read it out the Bible and you want to hear a word from the Bible, when they tell you that stuff, you need to just keep marching and moving. Because the New Age stuff, you don't have to pick up the word. You don't have to read no scriptures. You don't have to talk about what it said, what thus said the Lord. You just, I was talking to the Lord and he told me this. And, you know, I'm okay with you saying that, but that ain't going to help my life. Because Jesus said he is the what? Word of life. Amen? Amen. And so you won't have a rhema that is detached from the logos. What I mean, you won't have a word in time unless it's attached to a word that's already written in the word of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's read. Y'all ready? You have the word? Say, I have the word. I'm ready to receive it. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? And it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back. Tell somebody, don't go back. And walk no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Amen. Amen. I like what he said here. He said, we are sure. Are you sure that he's your Christ? Amen. Are you sure? He said that. Now, let's see here. We're going to deal with more than just those verses, and I'm going to compact it, and it'll be good, and it'll be all right, and it's not going to be very long. Amen. For me. Y'all caught that, right? I got a title, a thought, a topic, and I want to ask this question because many times we say we believe, but then we have trouble with our belief. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, do you believe? Now ask your other neighbor, say, neighbor, are you a fan or a follower? That's something right there. Amen. Amen. The gospel according to John. Amen. We know who John is. We know that he's the writer of this gospel and of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And he's also the writer and author of the book of Revelations, who we know is a relative of Jesus. And I could give you a whole bunch of history on John and how old he about was when he died and how they tried to kill him and couldn't. They tried to martyr him and it was unsuccessful because he had a work to do. Amen. But I want to go ahead and get into try to set a foundation for the message on tonight, because many times we wonder what's happening in the church. We wonder, and it's something I know it bothers me. And I'm pretty sure that it bothers some other pastors and preachers, is that we have people who say that they are believers and part of the church, but they don't act as though they are. And I'm not talking about just conduct doing something wrong. I'm talking about they don't participate in the congregation and they don't participate in the service of the Lord. You don't see them for a long time. And they still say, well, you know, I am still a member. I had the other day, I had somebody ask me, are you still my pastor? And I said, I really don't know. Because I ain't seen you in several years. You know what I'm saying? And it seems, though, that there is a great falling away from the church. And the excuse is that you don't have to go to church to be the church. Well, if you never go where the church assembles, huh? You know, if birds go to the nest because that's what birds do. Amen. Hogs go to the slop because that's what hogs do. Amen. The cow go to the pasture because that's what cows. And Christians ought to go to church because that is what Christians do. Come on and say amen here. And so I pondered on it, and I said, Lord, what is happening in this generation and in this time? And I'm not talking about generation just 20-year gap. I'm talking about in the time that we live in and in this time and the dispensation of things that are going on in this time. What is going on around us in our community, in our neighborhood, in our hood, in our workplace, or whatever it is that's going on that's causing people not to be interested in church? Or better yet, let's get away from that, but they're not interested in the word. The reason I know is because the only churches that people go to faithfully all the time are the ones who telling you that they got some stuff for you, and if you come to church, I can get that root off you, I can get that man to come back to you, I can get you some money, your blessings, I'm holding them up for you, you just come meet me down here and I release these blessings on you. Do you know that God can release blessings on you no matter where you are? He took a man who did not even believe in him at the time, Abraham, and introduced himself to him, and nobody had to release the blessings to Abraham. Matter of fact, when people thought they were going to bless Abraham, Abraham said, no, don't bless me, because you're going to say you're the ones that bless me. I want God to bless me. And when God blessed Abraham, he became the richest man in the East. Do I have a witness here? Well, you may not believe that story, but what about Job? God, the Bible said that Job was blessed. He had more than any man in the East, and he realized who gave it to him, because when he lost it, he said, God giveth and God take it away. We need to know it is God that has blessed us and not mankind. Now, God, we got to understand something, that man do give us something because God makes them do it. Yeah, the Bible says that he said, given it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall other men give unto our bosom. But it's God that gave it to the man to give to us. Amen. You waiting on an angel? He's not going to come bring it. It's God's man that's going to bring it to you. Amen. And so when you become a lover of the word, you want the love of the word, or you love the word, you receive the word, then God prospers you because of his word. How do I know that? The scripture says that he sent the word unto the thing that he sent it to prosper it according to his word. Amen. And so there are many people who don't believe. Many people, I believe, the reason we're not committed is because we don't believe, and we're not committed because of that. Now, when we really examine that, what I just said, your belief dictates your behavior. Am I right? What you believe dictates your behavior. And if I truly believe that that was a word from the Lord for me, I would go get it. Mm-hmm. If I truly believe that my healing was in the house, I would show up so I'd make sure I get it. If I truly believe that the blessings of the Lord would make me rich and add no sorrow, and I needed to be present to get the word that was going to bring it, I would show up. Is it all right to preach like that? I feel comfortable right where I am. And so he says, now when I said this, when I looked at this, I said, Lord, what is going on? And he said, there are many of them that don't really believe. They're happy to be part of the club, but they're not happy to be part of the church. In other words, they're happy about the socializing that they get and the fellowship that they get part-time, and they can do it when they feel like it. But when you serve God and you believe in him, you don't do it when you feel like it. You do it because you love him. You do it because you believe in him and you trust him. Amen? And so many people are not truly followers of Christ. Many people are just fans of Christ. Well, let me see. Okay. When a few years ago, when LeBron James left Cleveland and went to Miami, there were hundreds of people, thousands of people, many thousands of people that said, you know, I'm a Cleveland fan, I'm a LeBron James fan. But when he decided, I'm taking my talent to South Beach, when he made that announcement, they were in the streets burning his jersey. They were death threats, and they were so angry with the man, and they were mad with him, all because he wanted to move his talents. Right? And he found out quickly that they were not really followers of his. They were just what? Fans of his, right? But then when he left Miami and went back to Cleveland, they were happy to see him because they were fans. But there was a group of people in America that said, no matter where LeBron James goes, I'm going to be a follower. And so they jumped from being a Cleveland fan to being a Miami Heat fan, back to being a Cleveland fan. And wherever he goes next, they're going to follow him, and whatever jersey he has, they're going to wear it because they are followers of his. And if we can get people to follow Christ the way they follow LeBron, if we can get people to commit to Christ the way they commit to other people, we would have something in the church. Amen. And so when we start thinking about that, are you a fan or are you a follower? See, the fans, they were glad to have LeBron because they were saying, oh, he can get us to the finals and we'll get a championship at Cleveland, or we'll get a wherever he goes, he's going to the finals. So they are looking at the benefit of what they can get because they're fans. But a follower brags about his statistics. A follower brags about how many records he's broken. You know what I'm saying? And so all I'm saying here is that when we look at this text and when we examine it and see, you'll find out that the fan, Jesus had a fan base, and the fans were glad to get to the fish and the barley loaves. The fans were glad to see somebody in their family heal. The fans were glad. I wish I had somebody in here. If you read the text, if we go back to the top of this, you'll find out that there were over 5,000 men that were out there in the wilderness waiting to eat, and they had gotten a word from Jesus, but they followed him because of what he did, not because of who he was. And that is the problem in the church. That is the problem, is that we follow him now because of what he has done for us, or we're fans of his because of what he's done for us, but we don't follow him because of who he is. You know, everybody want to be followed now. Everybody got, they want to be followed on Facebook or Instagram, or they want to be followed on Twitter or whatever. And when you follow somebody, that means you agree with some of the ideals they have, and you like to retweet what they said, or you like to like what they have put on their pages. And sometimes, you know, we need to start retweeting Jesus. We need to start trying to follow his page. And what I mean by that is that I need to duplicate. I need to share again what Jesus already shared. And so that's why it's not good for us to be hooked up with all of this other stuff. But I want to share only what Jesus said. I want to share only what God has shared with me. I wish I had somebody. I love Mahatma Gandhi and how he did his little nonviolent protests and stuff. I love the idea. But then when I look at him, I realize that he wasn't a Christian. And even though he was nonviolent, he still wasn't what God wanted us to follow. Come on and say amen. And so we got to understand that there has to be a line drawn that if they're not following Christ, we should not follow them. That is why Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. And so we find here in the word of the Lord, we find that this is the time when Jesus had he had labored. He had been in his Galilean ministry. He had been in his Galilean ministry, and then he was about to switch over to his Judean ministry. Do you know that he housed his headquarters was in Capernaum, and this is where all of this took place. Capernaum is the city where he headquartered out of, because at Nazareth, they didn't want to hear him. At Nazareth, they said, we know him, and how is it that he's doing this? And we know, don't we know his mama, his sister, his daddy built our house? We know him. And so he couldn't do many miracles. So he had to go to Capernaum, happens to be the city, or the Capernaum is the place of the prophet Nahum. Nahum, amen. Capernaum, amen. And so Capernaum was the city where Peter's house was, and I've been there. It's so amazing, because Peter's house is right here and the synagogue is right there. And so now I understand why Jesus went to Peter's house, because all he had to do is walk out the door and into the door to get to the church. I wish I had somebody here. And so Jesus had fed them with 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. The people were there and they received the 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. But what was even greater than just feeding the thousands of people, it had to be more than 15,000, because imagine you got 5,000 men, 5,000 women, and then about 5,000 children. So it had to be at least 15,013 people there with Jesus and the disciples. Amen? So they all had something to eat. But what was amazing to me is after they ate, after he multiplied it, they picked up 12 baskets that each one of them could take to their own house. And so I learned something from that. If we would just distribute it as Jesus gave it to us, then whatever's left, he will multiply and we can bring it back to the house. Come on and say amen here. But I have to distribute it as God has given it to me. Amen. And so they were all in an uproar, and they were happy because they had seen these miracles. But then we find out that Jesus began to talk to them about eating in the desert, eating in the wilderness. He started talking about, yeah, because people start comparing him, and they start remembering Moses and the children of Israel in the wilderness, and they start comparing him. And Jesus was like, there is no comparison. He said, your family or your ancestors, he said, Moses, verse 32, Jesus said, very, very, I say, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my father give you true bread from heaven. So you need to get your mind off what Moses did, because somebody's here that's greater. I wish I had somebody. And you know, people always want to remind you of what the law say, but when you are walking in love, there is no law against you. I wish I had somebody. And so he goes on to talk about it, and he talks about how he says that my father, he said, I'm the bread of life. Jesus said in verse number 34, Jesus then said to them, they said in verse 33, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and give life unto the world. Jesus was letting them know that I am the word. I am the bread of life. Amen. And then he was letting them know that I'm superior to anything that Moses gave you in the wilderness. They had a comparison going, because all they ate was bread and they didn't get fat. All they ate was bread and they didn't die. But guess what? They died later on after 40 years of that. They died later on. They murmured that it wasn't enough bread. And then that's why Jesus said, you know, that bread, that wasn't superior bread. I am the superior bread. I came down from heaven so that you might have life. Amen. Then verse 34, they said, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now Jesus said, not only am I the bread, but I'm what you're supposed to be drinking too. Amen. And so he says to them, let's go on down a little bit further to about verse number 41. And so the Jews, they begin to murmur at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. You know how it is. You know, people don't want you to be who God called you to be. They don't want you to be what God called you to be. They want you to take off your, you know, your. He wants you to take off your preacher. They want you to take off your choir member. They want you to take off your deacon. And they want you to be just like them. Don't preach to me because I know who you are. Come on and say amen. And that's how the Jews were. And he said, no man, Jesus said this in verse 43. Jesus said, answered unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Don't talk to, among yourselves, because Jesus knew what was going on. And he said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him and raise him up in the last day. Now, we look at that word draw. To many of us, that means that means an attraction. That means that, oh, God does something attractive and that makes me want to serve him. But what about when God don't do something attractive? Lord have mercy here. Because sometimes you go through hell, but somehow you come out wanting to serve God. Sometimes you have lack in your life, but then you say, I need to get closer to God. So it's not something always attractive, but it's something that it doesn't attract me. But this thing, this word is a word, it means to impel me, not to attract me. So God is not trying to give me goodies and lure me in, you know, giving me gingerbread and I follow the trail until I get to his house. That's not what God is doing. This word impel is in the sense of the word in which Lot was taken and his family was taken out of Sodom when the angels grabbed him by the arm and pulled him out of there. I wish I had somebody here. In other words, Jesus was saying that you can't come out of sin except the Father grabs you and pulls you out of sin. I wish I had somebody. You can't come out of the mess and the stress and being depressed unless God grabs you and pulls you out of it. I wish I had a few people in the house. So if God grabs you and pulls you out, how much work do we really do? We don't do much at all. All we do is follow. All we do is go where he says go. Do what he says do. I wish I had a few people. And so Jesus was letting them know in verse 44. He said, you can't come out except the Father bring you out. And he said, and not only will he bring you out, but he'll raise you up no matter what happens to you. He's going to raise you up in the last day. Amen. Amen. He's going to lead us out of this stuff. But we can't be led if we are not willing to follow. Okay, let's go back to Lot, right? He grabbed Lot and he take him out. The angels take him out of Sodom because Sodom is about to be destroyed. But his wife looks back. That goes to show you, unless you're willing to follow. Unless you're willing to give him your full, undivided attention and can't be looking back at Sodom. You can't be looking at what you had at Sodom. You can't be looking at your friends in Sodom. You got to just keep on going. You got to let the world behind me, heaven in view. Come on and say amen. So he goes down, let's go on, skip down a little bit, and he says in verse 48, he said, I'm the bread, that bread. Jesus said, I am that bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and guess what? They did. They died. Oh, they ate it. Yeah, it fell down from heaven, and they called it, what is this? Because they really didn't know. Jesus was saying, I'm telling you what it is. It's me. I'm the bread. I'm the true bread. Oh, come on and say amen. So he said that in verse 48, he's telling them that he's the superior bread. He's superior to manna. But then we go on to verse 50, and he says, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, and that a man may eat thereof and not die. But then he says, I am the living bread which came down, and if a man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. So look at Jesus. I like what Jesus is doing. He you know, many of us would have got up and walked out of church because he's repeating himself. He keeps saying, I'm the bread. He said, if you eat, you'll live. I'm the bread. The message didn't change. His sermon was the same thing, and people were still trying to figure out what he was saying, and he kept repeating himself. He did that because he knew they wasn't getting it. Amen. And so he says now, he says in verse number 52, and the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how could this man give us his flesh to eat? So the Jews, you had a group of them that was saying, we think it's a parable because he talks in parables. And then there was other ones saying, no, he ain't talking no parable. He want us to eat his flesh. So they start arguing among themselves. And you know, when you speak a word from God, many times the natural people don't understand it. The carnal-minded people don't want to buy into it. Oh, come on and say amen now. And so you can't, don't get bothered, Pastor, whenever the carnal people don't want to get it, when the carnal people don't want to go along, they don't want to follow. It's because they're blinded to whatever it is because they don't have the Spirit of God to understand. So, in other words, what happened is Jesus challenged them to eat of his body. Yeah. He challenged them to do it, but instead of them accepting the challenge, they criticized him. Yeah. Right. Oh, my God. Pastor, sometimes you challenge people. Sometimes we challenge our family. Sometimes we challenge the church, and then they criticize the challenge. And they don't realize that the challenge is not the challenge that I'm giving, but the challenge is for you to believe. Amen. Amen. So let's go on and try to get finished. I'm going to try to get to it. And so he says in verse 60, he says, now he's in Capernaum now. He said, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? The Jews got to the disciples too. When they heard the Jews arguing, because these are the religious folks, these are the church-going folk, and when they heard them confused, the disciples. Now you've been following all this time, and now you're having a hard time following. You've been going all this time, and now you're having a hard time with what he said. So the disciples begin to complain. Their complaints turned into contempt, and they stopped following him because they couldn't go along with what he said. Amen. So when you're just a fan, you fail to follow through with commitment because it's not what you want. See, a lot of times whenever we're just fans of Christ, when we just say, oh, go Jesus, when we that kind of Christian, then we fail to commit to him because he sometimes challenges us to do stuff our flesh don't want to do. Sometimes challenges us that we don't want to put no more money in the pot because we need a little bit extra for the church. But sometimes we don't want to do what he tells us to do because we try to rebuke the thing that he said do, and we know that it wasn't the devil, and we try to rebuke God. You know God is not going to tell you to forgive somebody that talked about you. You know God is not going to tell you to go over there and bless their life. Satan is not going to tell you to go over there and bless their life. But you keep saying, that can't be God because that woman don't like me. And that's right, she don't like you. But the Bible says, give them water when they're thirsty, bread when they're hungry, for this heaps hot coals upon their head. Oh, come on and say amen. In other words, in their mind, their conscience is seared, and then God can start dealing with them, and they leave you alone. But instead of that, we avoid them in Walmart. Instead of that, we talk about them with our friends. Instead of that, we hope and wish and pray bad on them. I wish I had a few people in the house that said, preacher, you talking to us? Because I'm sure talking to me. Amen. So we fail to commit. We fail to commit. Now notice what he did. He said here, he says verse 61, he says that what I said, did it offend you? The word offend there is the word trip. It's scandalizo in the Greek. It's the word trip. Did what I say trip you up? Did what I say cause you to fall by the wayside? Did what I say cause you to miss the mark? Did what I say cause you to stop believing? In other words, when something trips, just think about this. When you have some internal things in your electrical box here, that if something happens, it'll trip the breaker. Right? And if it trips the breaker, that means that the power won't be able to come to the area in the building in which that breaker services, right? And so sometimes when God says something to us,